గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం శ్రుతి స్మృతి పురాణానామాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాద శంకరం లోక శంకరం. ఓం జన్మాద్యస్య యతః. వస్తువృత్తమపి జన్మనా ఉపలబ్ధసత్తాకస్య ధర్మిణః స్థితి ప్రళయ సంభవాత్. అస్యేతి ప్రచః దట్ యత ఇతి కారణ నిర్దేశః. అస్య ఓ యర్ అహెడ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ అనేక కర్తృభోక్తృ సంయుక్తస్య ప్రతినియత దేశకాల నిమిత్త క్రియాఫలాశ్రయస్య మనసా అపి అచింత్య రచనా రూపస్య. యా, సో వెన్ యు లుక్ అట్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఇట్స్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది స్ట్రక్చర్ రచనా రూప. సో రచనాయాహ రూపం, ది రూపం ఇస్ ది ఫార్మ్, రచనా ఇస్ ది స్ట్రక్చర్. దెర్ఫోర్ ఫార్మ్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది స్ట్రక్చర్ రచనాయాహ రూపం. స్ట్రక్చర్స్ ఫార్మ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? ది వే మల్టిపుల్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆర్ స్ట్రక్చర్డ్ లైక్ దట్ యు హెవ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్. So when you look at this entire universe, the galaxies, the stars, and then the sun as a one of the stars, and then the planets around the sun, and the earth being one of the planets, and then earth has a satellite around itself, upagraha. So chandra is not a graha. You should not say chandra is a graha. It is not a planet, you know, it is upagraha. It's a planet to a planet, that means a sub-planet. So, when and then that is at the cosmic level. Then come to the atomic level. Anuraniyan, Mahatomahiyan. Mahatomahiyan is like that. And then coming to the atomic level, so atoms and then molecules. First come molecules. And then within the molecules you have multiple atoms. And within an atom, we have a nucleus and electrons going around. In fact, the atomic structure is modeled on the planetary model. First, the scientists Kepler, Galileo and others have understood the planetary model, that sun and around the sun planets going on. And then some of the scientists like Rutherford, Bohr, Niel Bohr, etc., they have got the inspiration from the planetary model and tried to apply it to the atom. Because within the same atom, within one atom, there is a nucleus like sun and around the planets. Similarly, the nucleus and then the electrons around that. Then within the nucleus, there are particles again. They are called nucleons. And so the neutrons, protons, etc. That is the basic things. And then some more also, they go on, number goes on increasing. So then within the nucleus, how they are packed together. The protons and neutrons, how are they packed? That packing also is a big science in it. So this way, anuraniyan mahato mahiyan. So this is how the structure of this universe and multiple forms, how they are structured in this universe, is mind-boggling. That is the achintya. You should not confuse it with yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Not like that. It is not like that, you know. It is mind-boggling. That is the achintya rachana rupasya. So for that universe, for such a universe, yataha sarvajnata sarvashakteh karanat janmasthiti bhangam bhavati, from which cause, karana. This karana, is it nimitta karana or is it upadana karana? All that we have seen and we have arrived at the conclusion. Temporarily we said it, abhinna nimitta upadanam karanam. Only temporarily we said it. We have a lot more to say about it. But from that cause, from that karanam, such a universe is originating. And so to make such a universe possible, that karanam must be sarvajna and sarvashakti. It must be all-knowing and also it must be all-powerful. It is like a king accomplished some great project, suppose. then the king must be all-knowing. To put such a great project in place, he must be all-knowing. And then he must have a great command over the men and material to implement such a project. Therefore, all-knowing is not enough. All-powerful also is needed. Therefore, that is the karanam. You see, about the verse, about the sutra, janmadhyasya yataha, I want to point out an important aspect. Even in Bhagavatam, you are talking of Bhagavatam, the prayer begins with janmadhyasya yataha, janmadhyasya yatonvaya ditarataha cha artheshvabhijnyasvarat tene brahma hradaya adikavaye muhyanti yat surayaha. I suppose you can pick up something even as I say the verse. Tejo vari murudam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo murusha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. These Bhagavatam verses will be like that. They are tough verses, proud verses. Language is always difficult. It is not as smooth as some of the other poetic verses. Like Ramayanam, very smooth. Even Mahabharata is also smooth. Smooth going. You can immediately make out the meaning of the verse, except some special verses which come here and there. Even in Ramayana, some verses could be difficult. But most of the time, it is a smooth sailing. Whereas Bhagavatam, the verses are very tough. So Vidyavatam, Bhagavate, Pariksha, like that, there is a statement. Anyway, there he contemplates upon the reality, satyam. Satyam means reality. He doesn't say Krishna. He could as well say Krishnam param dhimahi. He could say that. He doesn't say like that. Or he could say Ramam param dhimahi. He doesn't say that either. Or he could say Shivam param dhimahi. He doesn't say that either. He doesn't commit, you see, how he just doesn't commit. He says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Even here, you are supposed to define Brahma. And in defining the Rishi's vision, you have to appreciate, the Rishi defines Brahma in a very open-ended way. This is called open-ended description. It is not a description which draws lines around the thing that you are describing. So thereby, you now have fixed the thing in a straight jacket. Now you cannot move away from it. You cannot change it. That kind of a commitment, that kind of a fixation, the Rishi never commits like that. He says, we contemplate upon that supreme reality, Satyam Param Dhimahi. You see, I tell you how. You are looking at the world. The world is Asya, means Prachaksha Anumana Abhyam Samsthapitasya. It is or Sannidhapitasya. It is presented before you by Prachaksha and Anumana. Whatever is presented before us, to us, in terms of Prachaksha and Anumana, means perception and conception. Anumana can be called conception. Perception and conception, that is all, the whole of it is that. So, Shabda, etc., you keep aside. So, perception and conception, these are the two powers that we are endowed with. And with those powers, we know or assess or understand the universe around us. And therefore, that asya jagataha. So this is what is called, whatever is known to you, of course, through the means of prachaksha and anumana, it is called the physical world, the physical universe. Or also it is called the material universe. Because whatever is known through perception is material in nature. Either it is Shabda, or Sparsha, or Rupa, or Rasa, or Gandha. Only that much. Because we are endowed with five sense organs, corresponding to five sense organs, we have five sense objects. That is the world. There is no other world. World is what you listen to, what you touch, and what you see, and what you taste, and what you smell. smell or pick up the smell of. That is the world. There is no other world because you are endowed with five senses and therefore five sense objects. Sixth sense is some Hollywood imagination it is. So don't bother about sixth sense and all that. That is some imagination. That is not part of the philosophy. So this is the world. So whatever you know through these five sense organs, and then anumana, the conception. Conception is always supported by pratyaksha. Without pratyaksha, there is no anumana. That's why drushtanta is a must for the anumana. Without drushtanta, so you do not have anumana. So parvato vanhiman dhumat yatha mahanasaha. So like the kitchen. And so there must be vyapti jnanam. Only when vyapti jnanam is there, you can conceive something. Like yatra yatra dhumas tatra tatra vanhihi. Iti vyapti jnana is atyavashyakam. To get the vyapti jnana, you need to have at least one illustration. At least one drishtanta must be there. Totally drishtanta is not there. There is no vyapti jnanam. And without vyapti jnanam, there can be no anumana. Therefore, even the so-called anumana is also finally dependent upon pratyaksha only. So this is the world, the physical world or the material world. Now, you add space-time to that. Space-time also you have to add because you cannot have an object without the parameters of the space and time. When you say ayam ghataha, this is the part, means this has this particular shape. When you call part, the part is the name of a given shape. Part is not the name of the thing. The thing, suppose you say the thing is part, then I will say the thing in itself. That is the expression used by some of the Western philosophers like Immanuel Kant. He says the thing in itself. So, when you say part, that is not the thing in itself. Thing in itself is murtika, clay, within the example. So, part is not the thing in itself. So, if part is not the thing in itself, then part is what? A rupa it is. It's a form. And form is defined by space. Without the space element, how can there be any form? Therefore, when you say ayam ghataha, it means this is the object. This object, not any other object, this form, not any other form, and at this point of time, not at another time. Like this pot was born, so before birth it was not there. Therefore, the space, the time, and so these two elements are invariably associated with the vastu, the thing. So it is deshakala vastu, it is. That is the world. And therefore now the vastu is conceived or perceived with the help of sense organs. And then mind has these two categories called space and time. Mind has them. That is the infrastructure of the mind. Therefore the mind, it puts every sensation into that framework of space-time. Like eyes see, and therefore there is optical sensation. The optical sensation is processed into the infrastructure of space-time. You listen a sound, the audio sensations are processed through the infrastructure of space-time. Therefore, this is how you perceive a world. That is the desha-kala-vastu. That is the physical world. Now, you are now looking at the cause of the physical world. While looking at the cause of the physical world, you are supposed to be very cautious about not putting any physicality into that cause. It cannot be physical anymore. Because within the physical world, there are causes and effects. Like you have chapati. It is caused by atta. Then atta has come from wheat, and wheat has come from plant. Plant has come from Monsanto seeds, and Monsanto seeds have come from Monsanto laboratory. So like that, those causes and effects are there. We are not looking at the internal causes and effects within the universe, within the physical world. We are looking at the fundamental cause of the primordial cause of the universe itself, and therefore that cause can never ever have any physical characteristics. That's why it is called metaphysical. It must be metaphysical. It cannot be physical. Just like when Panini says vruddhi, you don't get the meaning from the dictionary. Because it is not a dictionary language, it is meta language. He will tell what it is. Vruddhi radhaij. He says gunaha, don't go to the dictionary. Because it is not the dictionary gunaha. It is meta language gunaha. Adeng gunaha, like that. He says nadi. Now if you look at the dictionary, nadi means a river. But his nadi is not river. Yustriyakhyo nadi, something like that. Therefore, he uses a meta language to build the structure for the regular language. Therefore, very similar to that, you have to find a cause which is metaphysical. Which is metaphysical. Suppose you describe the cause, you give a description to the cause. That description comes from your mind, therefore it becomes physical. Whatever comes from your mind, whatever comes from your mind becomes physical. Because the mind is physical in itself. Mind is though subtle, still it is physical. Therefore, the cause can never ever be described in terms of the mind, the mental concepts, and therefore it cannot be described in words. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. Then how can you give lakshanam to Brahma? You have to give a lakshana that must be, that must not have any gandha, any iota of physicality in it. And the lakshana should not come from the mind. I mean from the content of the mind it should not come. Ultimately you say from the mind, not that way. From the content of the mind it cannot come. And you cannot give the lakshana of the Brahma as something physical. Therefore, in that sense, the Brahma is neither perceivable nor conceivable. Therefore, it is unknown and unknowable. It is not only unknown, but unknowable. You have to say that. Otherwise, there are a few things that, like Russian language is unknown to me. Not that kind of thing it is. It is unknown and unknowable. So you have to give a lakshana to the cause, to the Brahma. That lakshana should not become physical. It should remain metaphysical. Therefore, it should remain unknown and unknowable. So how to give the lakshana of the unknown and unknowable? You have, without disturbing its status of unknown and unknowable. That is something very unique the rishis have done. So in Bhagavata first verse, Satyam Param Dhimahi, he says, we contemplate upon the supreme reality. He doesn't make it the physical. He doesn't pull it down into the level of the physical. Here, Janmadhyasyetaha, this Janmadhyasyetaha is pulled from here and put at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, in that verse, at least in that verse, the poet doesn't disturb the open-ended nature of the reality. So therefore, the poet, he gives a lakshanam to the Brahma through Shakha Chandra Nyaya. That is the Nyaya he adopts. So Nyaya is method, Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Because he cannot say Brahma is a person standing with four hands or three eyes. So that way he cannot, four hands, three eyes means what? So you have just projected your physicality, the physicality known to your mind onto the reality. You cannot do that. So that's why the people could not deal with this kind of an open-ended metaphysical visualization of the truth. They cannot deal with it. Therefore, what they have done, they have pulled down the reality to the level of their conception and perception. That is how Puranas have originated. And the saving feature, the saving grace in this Puranic context is, whatever is said in the Purana, hopefully it is symbolic of the reality. That is one saving grace. Because you have pulled the metaphysical into the physical plane, so you have already violated the basic basic sanctity of the reality. It is metaphysical, it is not physical. The basic sanctity is already violated. Therefore, you should keep that reality in focus by making the physical descriptions symbolic. Therefore, metaphor, or it must be a metaphor, or it must be a symbolic. Like flute. Flute is a symbolic of a jiva without ego. Like pincha. What is that? Peacock feather. It is baraha. It is the symbolic of the achintya rachana rupasya. The rachana rupa, which is mind-boggling, that kind of. Because that peacock feather, if you see, that particular shape is there only when all of them are in place. All the feathers are in place. If one of the feathers is disturbed, the color is it's a kaleidoscopic thing. It is not one color. It's kaleidoscopic. All kinds of colors are represented in that expanse of that peacock feather, right? And there is a beautiful color combination and structure and all that. And that is made possible by putting many feathers together. Many rupas are put together to bring out a unified rupa. So that peacock feather, that is the baraha, that symbolizes Brahma. And a nata symbolizes the maya. Nata is maya, you know. Natyam is maya. Nata, what the nata does, he exhibits what doesn't exist, what is not real. That is what a nata does. So this way, the Puranic description of the reality can be only symbolic. If not symbolism, then there must be some message in it. Suppose there is a story which is neither symbolic nor didactic. Didactic means message. There is no message, there is no symbolism. Such stories are worthless. And now Hinduism, Hindu Dharma as such, is getting weighed down under the burden of these worthless stories. So you should make note of that. Therefore here, Janmadyasya Yataha, it is such a marvelous description of the reality in metaphysical terms without pulling down the reality to the level of physical, by maintaining the sanctity of the reality as metaphysical by employing Shakha Chandra Nyaya. So Shakha Chandra Nyaya is, the child has to be shown the moon. The child doesn't know the moon. And so the child has to be taught what the moon is. So if you ask, look at the moon, the child will not be able to look at the moon. Therefore, the child is told, you look at that branch of the tree. There is a tree, and look at the branch of the tree. And then, through the branch of the tree, in that general direction, you look into the sky, you find moon. Therefore, this shakha is not, it has got nothing to do with the moon. Shakha is a small part of your immediate world. Your immediate world is there, there is a part of it. Therefore, whatever is close to you, part of your immediate world, you employ it to show something which is beyond the immediate world. That is the moon. Okay, that is the illustration. Okay, so in the same way, you have to give the lakshanam of the Brahman. Come on, you want to know Brahman? Yes, you look around this universe, you look at it. What a marvelous universe it is. Deshakala, etc. And Karta, Karta, Bhokta, etc. So many things are there, lot of variety, multifarious, and mind-boggling it is, obviously. So this universe has its origin. Now, you don't find the cause of the universe within the universe itself. It cannot be. That is illogical, you know. The cause of the universe cannot be within the universe. Therefore, the cause of the universe is that from which this universe has originated. So you see how he defines, what is the Brahma? Brahma is that from which this universe has originated. and what is Brahma, so that from which this universe has originated, and from what this universe has originated, from Brahma, and what is Brahma, Brahma is that from which this universe has originated. That is how he defines it. So the definition, what it does, you know, it takes you up to the very frontiers of knowledge, the mind, up to the very frontiers of knowledge it takes you, and then you go beyond. You are already into the embrace of the Brahma. That is how it has to be done. While sitting inside the world, while sitting in the mind, while sitting in the mind means you identify with the mind, or you take the mind's content as the basis, and then from that standpoint, from that position, if you try to visualize Brahman, you will end up with pseudo-Brahman, not the real Brahman. Pseudo-Brahman means pseudo-Brahman. It has nothing to do with the real Brahman. That's why we have so many Puranas and so many forms of God which are mutually contradictory. They all take you into a maze or a labyrinth of rituals and upasanas, so etc. You end up there. In Vedanta, you don't teach anything new. Okay? What you do is you take a broomstick and go on cleaning up all the ideas that are there in the minds of the people. In fact, it is the glory of Vedantic teaching that, in that, no new formulation or a new idea is handed over to the people. Only job done is take a broomstick and sweep all the ideas that they entertain about the reality till then. That's why Vedanta is not so much a learning process. Vedanta is a process of unlearning. That is what it is. Therefore, janmadhyasyataha, that is how the metaphysical definition is given. And then, when you say sarvajna sarvashakti, even that you have diluted. It is called shabala brahma. Shabala Brahma. Shabala is what? Already impure Brahma. Not pseudo Brahma. Pseudo Brahma is no Brahma. Whereas Shabala Brahma is impure Brahma. It is like the gold ornaments, you know, pure Canadian gold, 99.999%. Whereas ornament gold is some copper is added to that. That is called ornament gold. That is the Shabala Brahma that we are talking about. Whereas there are some ornaments which are not of gold at all. They are not of gold at all. They are called rolled gold. So they are not of gold at all. So we are not interested in that kind of pseudo Brahma. Once you say sarvajna sarvashakti, he knows all. And he knows all and he is all powerful. When you say that, this all, do you know what is all? You don't know. You simply say, all is a euphemism for something that you do not know. It, not that you know it. Sarva you don't know, but you say he knows all. Sarva Shakti, it is also like that. Therefore, but still it is guna. You have put jnanam and shakti into the reality. Sarvajnanam and Sarvashakti. That's why it is Shabala Brahma. That's why Sri Ramakrishna used to say, by the time you describe Brahma, Brahma jhuta ho gaya. You know, jhuta. It is already, suppose you put something in the mouth and take out what it is, that is what happened to Brahma now. That is the Saguna Brahma. So Sarvajna Sarvashakti, you make it jhuta. In Telugu it is called Engili. Engili Brahma it is. So, impure Brahma. Or not pseudo, Shabala Brahma. Shabala Brahma is the word used by Shastrakara, by Vyatikakaras, etc. They use. Sri Ramakrishna uses jhuta. Okay? So, one and the same. Therefore, this is how so cautiously you have to look at ద లక్షణం ఆఫ్ ది బ్రహ్మన్ శాఖాచంద్ర న్యాయ. దేర్ ఈజ్ అన్ అబ్జెక్షన్ టు దిస్ డెఫినేషన్. ది అబ్జెక్షన్ ఈజ్ యు సే అమ్రాన్ పృష్ట కోదారాన్ ఆచష్టే లైక్ దట్ దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ ప్రోవర్బ్. He is asked about mango tree and he shows this is the neem tree. So the person wanted mango tree and the neem tree is shown to him. So amran prushtaha kovidara nacheshte. Similarly, you are asked the definition of the Brahma, Brahma lakshanam. But jagal lakshanam is given. Brahma is not, nothing is said about jagat. Jagat jayate, jagat tishthati, jagataha janma, jagataha sthitihi, jagataha laya, pralayaha. Eto jagat lakshana ho gaya. This is the lakshana of the jagat. It is not of the Brahma. So that kind of an objection could be there. Then we say, it is not exactly like that. So jagat, it looks like jagat lakshana. Jagat janmadi, jagataha janma sthitihi pralayaha. It becomes lakshana of the jagat only, you know. True, it is the lakshana of the jagat. From that you can say jagat has three states, janma, sthitihi and pralayaha. Therefore in a way it has become the description of the jagat. But how is the lakshana of the Brahma? We want the lakshana of the Brahma, you know. So jagataha janma adi brahmanaha kalpita lakshanam bhavati. You cannot say, like Shakha, Chandrasya kalpita lakshanam bhavati. Shakhayam Chandraha. Now, lakshana is to show. Lakhana. Lakshana mane to show. It is not nirvachanam, not niruktihi. Nirukti is not possible. Nirukti is possible for physical things only, not for the metaphysical reality. Therefore here, that's why we do not say, nirvachanam we don't say. Nayayikas say, lakshana word they use in the sense of nirvachanam. Prithivyaha nirvachanam kim? When they say prithivyaha lakshanam kim, prithivyaha nirvachanam kim ityarthaha. For that their answer is gandhavati prithivi. You have a nose. And as long, assuming that it is not blocked, you can pick up a little smell. That smell, it characterizes Prithivi. How it characterizes? Gandha Vati. Prithivi has Gandha. That Vati, so what is there? Matup it is. Matup becomes Vat. It means samavaya sambandhena gandhaha prithivyam vartate. Like that samavaya sambandha vachchanna, gandhatva vachchanna, gandhanishtha, adheyata nirupita, adhikaranatavat vruttimatvam, prithivetvam. Like that they say something, some description they give. So that is nirvachanam. Nirvaktum shakyate, iti niruchyate. But here no nirvachanam is possible. Only lakshanam is possible. You see, there is the truth, you cannot describe it, but you can show it. Like, it is. There are things like that. Anything which is associated with anubhava cannot be described, but it can be experienced. Like, laddu is there. You know, Pularedi laddu. Pularedi sweets, very famous, and laddu. How does it taste? You tell me. So you will not be able to describe it in so many words. What is a square? You tell me. You will be able to tell. It is an enclosed area with for all four sides of equal length. Like that you can describe it. So you describe, how does Pularedi laddu taste? You describe. You will not be able to describe, but you can bring a laddu and put in my hand. So I put it in my mouth and then I will say, yes, I know how does it taste. This is the way, metaphysical only. So you see, the direction in which I am pulling you is, Brahma cannot be anything other than Atma. It cannot be anything other than Atma. Because whatever is anubhuyate, that is Atma only. Suppose the polarity is sweet, you enjoy. That is Atma it is. And therefore, there is only one way to define Brahma, to show Brahma. There is only one way. And that way is, you have to be pushed back into yourself. You should be made into antarmukha. And then look within, search within. What you find there, whatever you find there, which is your own innermost reality, that is the only Brahman. There is no other Brahman. Atmanam vihaya Brahma vaktum na shakyate. That is how the whole discussion moves in that direction. Therefore, jagat janmadi Brahma jagataha lakshanam. You look at anything in the any object in the world, it is jayate tishtate. I am saying, because niruktas 6 qualities I am still pending, keep them pending. I will come to that. It is coming now. Jayate tishtate. I am not saying asti. Sthiti, you know, tishtate viliyate pralaya. So that any object in the world is like that. But therefore, janmasthiti bhangam yadi yadyapi jagataha lakshanam tathapi brahmanaha kalpita lakshanam bhavitum arhati. That is how it is shown. So, shakhajandranyaya. So, then we want vastu siddhi, lakshana pramanabhyam vastu siddhi. We have to establish Brahma, you know. Kalpita lakshanenapi vastu siddhir bhavati. So, you don't need yathartha lakshanam for vastu siddhi. Like, I told my student, you bring that rope. Bring that rope. He told, what rope? Are beta, morning when you saw that rope and you mistook it for a snake and you were afraid, and I told you it is not a snake, it is rope, and you came out of that fear, that rope you bring. Now, what is the description of rope now? Description of rope is sarpa abhava adhikaranam. Okay? It is the locus of the absence of snake. But why you talk of absence of snake? You see, this prasaktasya eva nishedhaha. Therefore, there must be the topic of snake. And then only the absence of snake becomes important. Therefore, now the Rajju Lakshanam is sarpa bhava abhava adhishthana adhishthanam rajjuhu. That is adhishthana nichana pumsakalinga. Adhishthanam rajjuhu. So what is rajju now? When this person has mistaken it for sarpa, then it is the sarpa bhavasya adhishthanam. And when he understood it correctly, oh, there is no sarpa, nayam sarpaha, then it is sarpa abhavasya adhishthanam. And generally there is a mithya lakshanam is given. Yet bhavasya abhavasya cha adhishthanam bhavati tat mithya. Samithya, you say samithya. That is the definition of mithya. Suppose you see something, on there is a thing on which you see something else. And then understand that something else is not there. That means first you see something else, and then you see its absence. Then what remains, that becomes the satyam. And what was seen, and then what was negated, that becomes mithya. And mithya, you should not say mithya satyam. Mithya is not satyam. Mithya satyasya lakshanam bhavitum arhati. Mithya can become the lakshana for the Brahma. That is how yatha kalpita sarpaha rajyoho lakshanam bhavati tatha kalpita jagataha janmadi or janmasthiti laya sanyuktam jagat yat kalpitam tat brahmanaha lakshanam bhavitum arhati. That way you have to say. That is the only lakshana. You are from Krishna consciousness and you are listening to Advaita Vedanta. Okay, you are welcome. One day I was in Bombay, in Juhu Beach, and went to the Krishna consciousness temple. Sadhu, you know, you need some bhiksha somewhere. Just ghus gaya andar. And then one Mahatma was giving a lecture. And so you listen to the lecture. One advantage is, if you listen to the lecture, you are likely to get your bhiksha. So that is the, like in Kailas Ashram, you go and sit and listen, they will give you bhiksha. So I hope the same thing will happen there. It did happen. And that Mahatma, I don't know, he never knew me. And I am one among the 100 people, though I am in this kind of dress, I am one among the 100. That morning, he was talking against the Mayavada. It's a coincidence. I was listening to it. He's a foreigner. Foreigner means he's from West. So he studied a little some Mayavada and thoda bahut idhar udhar. And so he was saying something against it. I was listening to it and I enjoyed it. And later some kirtan was there. That was beautiful in any case. And then had a nice lunch and came out. So this lakshana, therefore this lakshanam is kalpita lakshanam, you know. It is not, that's why it is not a swarupa lakshanam. It is called a tatastha lakshanam. Tadbhinne sati tadbodhakatvam tadbodhakam tatastha lakshanam. It is different from that, but it helps to see that. That is tatastha lakshanam. Tadabhinne sati tadbodhakam swarupa lakshanam. This is not swarupa lakshana. That is only tatastha lakshanam. You see, mithya definitions, so many definitions are there. One definition just now I have told you. So, bhava bhava adhishtha jagataha bhavasya abhavasya cha adhishthanam brahma. And therefore, jagat mithya brahma satyam. Similarly, sarpasya bhavasya abhavasya cha adhishthanam rajyuhu. So, sarpaha mithya rajyuhu satyam. Therefore, bhava bhava adhishthana is the satyam. And yasya bhava bhavau pratiyete sa mithya. That is one mithya lakshanam. Another mithya lakshanam is there. So that is interesting lakshanam. Yat bhrantya siddhyati tat mithya sa mithya. Something is established by delusion. That becomes mithya. Like sarpaha mithya. Why? You see sarpa only in delusion. If you are not deluded, you won't see sarpa. You see only the Jew. Therefore sarpaha mithya. Therefore yadyat bhrantya siddhyati tatna sasa mithya bhavati. That is another definition of mithyatvam. And there is another definition given by Vidyaranya Swami. They all mean the same, but they all come to the same point. Different ways of looking at mithyatvam. But in mithyatvam, you will never have satyatvam. So in mithyatvam also, if you put some satyatvam into it, then why do you call it mithya? You can as well call it satya. In mithyatvam, satyatvam nasti, satyatvam bhasate, kada ajnana kale. So that is how mithya is defined. Anyway. Tad Brahma iti vakya seshaha. Tad Brahma iti vakya seshaha. Vakya seshaha means whatever words you have to import to complete the sentence, that part of those words, one word or more than one word, they are called vakya seshaha. Like, so yataha asya janmadi yachabdena tachabdaha adhyaharyate, so tat adhyahriyate, not adhyaharyate. Adhyahriyate. So, tachabda adhyahara. So, tat brahma shabda anuvrtihi. So, tat brahma. Now the vakya is complete. Janmadhyase taha vakya is incomplete. Tat brahma iti vakya seshaha. Therefore, tat brahma becomes vakya sesha. Meaning, by bringing in tat brahma, the sentence is complete. That is the meaning of the word vakya seshaha. Anyeshamapi bhava vikaranam trishveva antarbhava iti janmasthiti nashanam ihagrahanam. You see, Bhava Vikara. Bhava is generally taken as an object. The objects have modifications. And every object has many modifications. And there can be many more modifications. But all modifications that you can think of for a given object will be included in these three. Janma, Sthiti, Laya. You can think of some other these are all modifications only, you know. So, what all modifications that you can think of, Anyeshamapi, whatever. Like Parinamate, like that some modifications are Vardhate, like that modifications are there. Those modifications can be included in these three. Therefore, three is enough. Janmasthiti Bhanga, three is enough. You have to go by this Shruti, you know. Shruti talks of three. Therefore, you go by three. No, some more modifications are there. Include in those three. Bhavaha, Vastu, Bhava Vikara. But then, the word Bhava means Kriya. Bhava is a Kriya. It's a Kriya, you know, the meaning of the verb. The Vyakarana and Mimamsa, they go together. Sarvan Dhatu Jamaha, Shakatayanasya Tokam. So the Shakatayana Acharya, he proposes that everything is born from Dhatu. That is the stand taken by Yaskacharya also. Yaska also Sarvam Dhatu Jamaha. So everything comes from Dhatu. That means everything is somehow connected to action, verb. That's why Bhava means not simply an object. There is no such thing in this world. An object fixed, sitting there. There is no such thing. Bhava means a phenomenal object. Because Kriya Sambandha is always there. Kriya means Chalanam. So everything is in flux in this universe. Everything is in flux. It appears as though it's an object. Like this table, you take it as an object. You take it as an object. Because somehow certain sensations, it corresponds to certain sensations which will give you the sense of an object. You see, it is the glory of Immanuel Kant. He says the idea of an object is a superimposition from the mind. You see, why do you call it an object? It is something which gives you a sense of touch. That is what it is. But why do you call it an object? So whatever corresponds to certain sensations is called an object by the mind. Therefore, the idea of an object, I won't tell this is an object. It is the mind which puts the idea of an object upon this. Therefore, when you say this is an object, the word object, the idea of object itself is supplied by the mind. It is supplied by the mind. And so, that's why when we say Vishwam Nijantargatam Shankara. So, Vishwam Nijantargatam. The world is in you. It is not outside. No, outside. Whatever is outside is inside. And whatever is inside is outside. So that is the physics, modern physics, quantum physics. And that is Vedanta. Vishwam Nijantargatam. But then it appears to be outside. The object appears to be outside. But it is, now who is supplying the object? Outside or the mind? Mind is supplying, but then it appears to be outside. The object is taken as outside. So what is given, what is supplied by the inside appears to be in the outside. That is Maya. It is called Maya. Like when you see the serpent, this serpent example is the best example. When you see the serpent, this serpent, it come from where? Did it come from the rope where you see? Or did it come from your head? It comes from the head. If it comes from the head, you should see it in your head. Right? Like now, that day when I was walking, I saw a serpent. And now I am seeing it in my head, you know. I recollected it. I recollected and I see it in the head. Whereas this blessed thing, this serpent, it came from the head, but it appears outside. And Shankara says, Smriti Rupaha. Smriti Rupaha means Sadrushaha. It is not Smriti, because when you recollect a serpent, the serpent you recollect in the mind only, you won't see it in the outside. Therefore, it is not Smritihi, it is Smriti Rupaha. Means Smriti Sadrusha Ityartha. Rupa Pracheya, Rupap is a Sadrushartha. So Smriti Sadrushaha. Therefore, it is as if, therefore it is coming from the head. The Sarpa is coming from the head. But you see it outside. How come? When it is coming from the head, I should be able to see it in the head, like I do in the case of Smriti. How come you see it outside? Maya. Vishwam nijantargatam pashyan atmani mayaya bahirivodbhutam. Mayaya, you should not put to atmani. In that verse, mayaya bahirivodbhutam. Because of maya, it is as though born in the outside, the sarpa. So that is how. Therefore, when you are looking at a world, you are looking at your own mind projected outside. That's why it is Jagan Mithya. If you want to worship and all that, you can do that. This is not against that. But just because for Upasana, you don't need a real altar. The altar need not be real for Upasana. Like Vigneshwar Puja, you do. So you put some turmeric paste and do puja. Now, so you don't mean turmeric paste is Vigneshwara. Okay. But turmeric paste is all right for worshipping Vigneshwara. So for Upasana, you don't need real Vigneshwara should come and sit there. So turmeric paste, you will do the job. So upasakanam karyartham brahmano rupakalpana, rupasya kalpana, brahmanaha rupakalpana, for the purpose of upasana. Chalta hai. This discussion has no end, it goes on and on. So, all possible modifications are included in the three. These modifications, there can be any number of modifications, because the blessed thing is a phenomenal thing. It is changing by the second. It is in a flux. So you can think of any number of modifications. So three are said here. Yaskacharya, in his Niruktam, he talked of six modifications. So what about that? You see, Yaskas six, they do not belong to this context. They belong to another context. Therefore, wherever you see vikara, that you need not pull and put here. That context is different. Okay? If you have some more modifications in your thinking, doesn't matter. They can be included in these three. But no, yaska. No. They are a different context. They are not of this context. Two says like that. Yaska paripathitanam tu jayate asti ityadi nam grahanam tesham jagataha sthiti kale sambhavyamanatvat molakaranat uppattisthitanasha jagataha na gruhita syuhu ityashankyeta tanma shanki. See, Yaskacharya, he talks of six bhava vikaras. Bhava is a phenomenal object. Take it as an object. And the object has six modifications. What are they? Jayate. There the comparison ends. Here, janma, jayate. Okay, first is jayate. Then asti, that is vidyamanatvam. Asti doesn't mean not the sat, brahma and all that. Asti means namarupatma, namarupatmakam, yatha sarpaha asti, tatha asti. That kind of asti. Okay? It appears to be there. Take it as asti. And then, jayate asti, vardhate, it grows, like a plant or whatever. And then, parinamate, it matures. And then, apakshiyate, nashyati. this description of the bhava vikaras, this is not before creation. This is during the creation. Like a child is born. Child is not coming at the time of creation, you are not going back. The creation is going on. Sthiti kala. So yaskas, six vikaras, they do not correspond to the very birth of the universe and all that. They correspond to different objects within the universe, which is already created and which is going on. Sthiti kala eva. Whereas here we are not talking of only sthiti kala. We are talking of janma, sthiti and pralaya also. The entire spectrum we are taking. Whereas those vikaras belong to only sthiti kala. Therefore, suppose you take those vikaras. Then somebody will get a doubt. Okay. In the sthiti kala, for the jagat brahma karanam. Not jagataha janmanaha karanam. Not jagataha pralayasya nidhanam. Neither the adhishthana for the pralaya, nor the origin for the janma. Only during sthiti, so whatever universe is there, in the sthiti kala, so brahma jagat karanam. That kind of a doubt one may get if you take yaskas things. Therefore, that kind of a doubt should not come. Tat ma shanki, that may not happen. So ma shanki means ma ashanki charta. That at gone. Namang yoga. Namang yoga. Ashanki is a lung it is. Is it like this? Ashanki, ashanki shatam, ashanki shata. That ashanki sichi has gone hraswadangat. Is it like that? I think so. You check that one time. Yeah. I thought ashanki, ashankishatam, ashankishata, ashankishtaha, ashankishatam, ashankidvam, ashankishi, ashankishvahi, ashankishmahi. That is how it occurs to me. You may better check it. Okay. So, you may not have that kind of a doubt. What? That kind of a conclusion. What? That during sthiti kala, what all vikaras are happening, all of them they have their origin in Brahman. It should not be like that. What utpatti and also pralaya is connected to Brahman. So he says that, ya utpatti hi brahmanaha, brahmanaha panchami ekavachanam, brahmanaha ya utpatti hi tatraiva sthiti hi. From Brahma, Uchi creation is happening. Tatraiva brahmani sthitihi jagataha. So, ya jagataha utpattihi brahmanaha. Tatraiva brahmani jagataha sthitihi pralayascha bhavati. Iti ta eva gruhyante. Means jagataha janma sthiti pralayaha eva gruhyante. Natu yaska paripathita bhava vikarani. Because if you take yaska paripatita bhava vikaras, suddenly some may get, this is all about sthiti kala, nothing to do with janma and pralaya. That kind of a doubt one may get. Therefore, to avoid that problem, you don't bring yaska paripatita vikaras here, leave them alone. No, it may not be yaska paripatita, but there are some other vikaras, somehow they will all get included in these three only. Okay, that became clear. We'll continue tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Daya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. So we can conclude this way tomorrow morning.